Phoenix City's Tokyo correspondent brings you
Phoenix City.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix City. I usually say for another week here, but it's been a little while because there has been very little to talk about. But we have some news this week to talk about. So I am joined by Cam. How are you doing, Cam?
I'm really enjoying level two, and that is a very pointed remark considering who else is joining us on the podcast today.
Good point. We're recording this over Zoom, so Cam sounds like he's on a meeting with work with a little headset going on there. But we are joined from Auckland by old friend, Ella. Ella's joined us again. How you doing, Ella?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Yeah, better than level four, I think. So,
I'm so glad to hear that Cam's enjoying his level two freedoms.
I'll tell you what, apart from the mask wearing, which I'm okay with, but, you know, there's a lot of it. It's certainly nice to be able to wander into work calls or a coffee shop at will.
It is nice. There's still some weird things around it and queuing for places and the weird rules, like you don't know if one place is going to do one thing or the other thing. Yeah, it's just a weird time that we live in. But hey, we're here to talk about some, not some football directly, but the formation of a new team, the Wellington Phoenix, finally entering a team into the W League for the next season. And this is just amazing news. It's been rumbling away for a while. There was an announcement a couple of weeks ago that there would be more teams joining the W League, and the Phoenix are one of those candidates. But to have this officially announced is just huge. Ella?
Stoked. So stoked. finally, it's finally happening. Because obviously we came close, pretty close last year, I felt, and then didn't work out for, you know, reasons it didn't work out. But to finally get here and know, okay, from this season on, we've got a W League team. We've got, obviously, went out 2 years away from the Home World Cup. You know, how key is this going to be to our preparations? Answer, massively. And then as a legacy from that World Cup, like to have that professional pathway, that final piece in the pathway for women's football in New Zealand is huge.
Yeah, I think it's that pathway thing that is the biggest part of it, and that you no longer have to go overseas to get paid to play football,
which is just going to be
massive.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, because, you know, as demonstrated, you know, the under-17s back in 2018, you know, had that great run. So we do great at developing players to the extent that we can with the resources that we've got. But then it's such a jump going from playing, you know, ISPS under women's premiership, it was last season, so, you know, the National League women, FFDP and stuff, that brings you up, you know, to a level. But then to make that next jump to go overseas, obviously the W League has always been an option in some form, but to go to the W League, till now you're considered a foreign player, so then you're competing with the rest of the world for those foreign visa spots. You know, you're going to Europe, you're going to the States, you know, the great players do make it through, but like you need that extra development space back here dedicated to New Zealand players to make that jump and to get more players coming through. Like you've seen the rate that women's football is developing throughout the rest of the world, the investment that's going in Europe, what's going on in the States, like to keep up. And we've seen over the last few years, you know, in the World Cup, in the Olympics, you know, it's the gap just grows and grows and grows because everyone else has got those resources to throw into it. This is a massive piece of that puzzle. It will help, you know, bring players through. There's players that need to come back for whatever reason. Well, now there's an option at home. You know, it's just so excited to see, you know, how that works out for us.
And it's not like that's all hypothetical, because that's been happening for the W League for the Matildas, for Australia. The formation of that league has brought that team into competing against your USAs and your Canadas and your Frances. Like they are footing it with those massive teams who have historically been really strong. And that's what this league can do. And we get to benefit from those
players like Sam Kerr. Imagine Sam Kerr comes out of that league, right? And she's turned into one of the best female footballers on the planet. So the fact that the if the base quality is there, the skill sets are there, this league is entirely the place where you can develop your players into world-class players.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we saw, the season prior to the last World Cup, that was kind of when the majority of the midfielders had come back home, and then a lot of them then went on to Europe afterwards. In the subsequent seasons after that, there's players that have come through that are, you know, then going on to Europe as well. Dylan Holmes from Adelaide's kind of the one that immediately springs to mind, who's done really well. So there's still, you know, there's still that talent pipeline coming through. It's still, you know, those stepping stones kind of now bringing through that next generation. So, you know, again, certainly from our point of view, this is a great time to be getting into that league because we're bringing through those players at the same time as well.
You mentioned the eligibility issues last time around. I think it was a season ago when it looked like the Phoenix were finally going to get this over the line and they couldn't negotiate eligibility. But it seems that they've settled on what is that there must be 7 Australians in the squad. And then the other 11 players, because it's an 18-person squad, can be from New Zealand or overseas. What are your thoughts on that? Because I have thoughts on this, and I'm not sure whether I like it or not.
I mean, it's 11 more players. New Zealand is guaranteed to be playing at that level than we had before, right?
Yes, totally. Yeah,
you know, it's an Australian competition. They're going to obviously have their own playing levels and whatnot that they want to be addressing, for their own development, that kind of thing. And again, when it comes down to it, we are playing in an Australian league, so there's always going to be that give and take. When it comes down to it, it's a massive opportunity for us either way. And there's still places for Kiwis to be playing in other teams in the W League too. Other teams can sign New Zealanders if they so desire. So we're still getting the players in.
Yeah, I want to look at this one pragmatically, actually, Patrick, because, again, I agree, they're entirely, we're in an Australian league. To get this over the line and to as a development opportunity there that it is, I'd be prepared to bend over and concede some things like that to the Australian leagues, because the benefits are going to outweigh the small price of 7 players in the league. And that's 7 players for this season coming up, right? That's not necessarily going to be this case moving forward. That may change. Mm. So we're going to have a look at least 11 New Zealand players in that team this season coming up. 7 Australians is a small price to pay for that.
It's not necessarily 11 New Zealanders, right? It's 11 non-Australians.
It's 11 other people.
Yeah.
We have at least 7. That doesn't mean we can't have more Australians, but we must have at least 7, which means you have, and you can have 4 visa spots. So you can have effectively 7, 4, 7. And so 7 of those players could be Kiwis as well. So, yeah, it's basically you're capping it. The only cap is 4 visas is the maximum and 7 Australian players is the minimum. Mm. And your total squad is 18. So as long as you fit those 2, you can fill the rest of it up however you wish. There are more than enough quality women footballers playing in New Zealand right now who could fill that void to fill those spots.
Yeah, I think your point about kind of taking the concession to get this team over the line now was a good one. I would hope that this wouldn't stay in place for perpetuity. I hope that at some point this can be renegotiated, either removing that distinction between Australians and New Zealanders completely, like we have in the A-League. They are just the same for the Phoenix. Or reducing it if it becomes something like 4 or 5 Australians, so that we don't have more Australians on our team than we might have, or more equal to New Zealanders. That's the only downside, but that's such a small caveat to play and giving this team over the line. I think even if this team was over half Australians, to have that side playing under the Phoenix club banner and eventually playing games in New Zealand will do massive amounts for the development pathways. We'll just get more players wanting to be part of that, and more players being part of those pathways means a stronger pathway. It means we've developed better players. That's what we've always lacked with our population size. And so I think no matter what it is, the fact that there's a Phoenix team in the W League means that we will get better players coming through, better New Zealand players coming through.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, go, Ella.
Yeah, because I can say, like, you look at it kind of from the other side of things. Like, at the moment, the kind of the peak that you can get to domestically in New Zealand is, you know, obviously FFDP, and they do awesome work there. And that's, you know, getting the players going through as well. But then you've got to move to Auckland to be part of that in terms of National League and stuff. you know, for a lot of players, they start playing in the National League, you know, in their teens after you've done a few seasons of that. It's kind of like, well, where do you go next? So it's that kind of awkward, like, what's the next step? There's no kind of obvious clear step, but then having the Phoenix in place now, it kind of means that, you know, players will keep kind of pushing through it in that space. They'll keep pushing through in the FFDP space or whatever kind of happens, you know, in all that. There's somewhere for players to go when they're ready. It's accessible and it's close to home. Whereas before it was just you hit the National League and then that's it.
Do you picture?
I was going to bring up that FFDP point as well. With obviously Anna Lee was at Anna Longo was at the announcement in her FFD role.
Anna Lee is the new women's development manager for NZF, so she starts on Monday.
Yeah, so she. But that's, like, that's that, the the scope that she was there for, which is like the Phoenix have already got young women footballers in their academy, right? Yeah. The possibility of tying up all of these programs together in an academy setting and with the Phoenix, if New Zealand football, and you don't have to comment on this, Ella, if New Zealand football is prepared to shift that to Wellington, is massive, because the development program, again, will be, we've seen how good it's been for the men's game, right? So when the academy first started coming on board to where it is now, and when you've got players like Sarpreet and Libby, who have gone on to amazing things overseas, that's exactly what can happen 5 years down the track for all these women that are getting into the academy programs now. And if we can tap into that, you know, the development programs that NZF are doing and getting all that talent into the same place, New Zealand women's football is going to skyrocket. It's just going to take off in the next 5 to 6 years.
That's actually a good point that I didn't touch on when I intro this whole thing, is that this was very much promoted as a collaboration between Wellington Phoenix FC and New Zealand football, which is the first time we've really seen those two entities collaborate to this level of closeness, really. I could have said that better, but you know what I mean? It's the first time that these two entities have pulled in exactly the same direction to do something. The Phoenix have always sat alongside New Zealand football for the men's game, but they've kind of sat outside the development programs that New Zealand football do. Obviously, the Phoenix are putting a team in New Zealand football competitions, but it's very much been, this is the academy here and you do your own thing. You run your own training camps, that kind of thing. Your youth team programs, we will pull your players out, but they will be separate. In this case, from what the announcement is and from what I can see, is that they're very much closely linked, which is a good thing, I think. I think that there is still value in probably having the first development program up in Auckland and the Phoenix down here, because they can both do things. They can do things with players in Auckland and do things with players in Wellington. In the same way that we see multiple academies being run on the men's side, I think that can still be a thing. Obviously, the development program will lead into a Phoenix contract, hopefully, for some players. But having more development pathways and more physical places in the country where you can develop as a footballer is only a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you see, you know, obviously in the South Island with, you know, Canterbury United Pride and the programs that they run. So they, you know, obviously run their things, if I remember correctly, to kind of mirror what goes on, you know, with FFDP, but obviously in Christchurch, so players don't have to necessarily go up there, or the ones that are too young to head off, you know, can do that. So you've would have seen, you know, obviously Gabby Rennie, you know, came through with Pride, now she's playing, you know, college football in the States. You know, so having, you know, like that we've seen in the guys' game, you know, for the last few years with the rise of LA and, you know, all the rest of it, like having all of these options, that's only going to benefit the game in women's development overall. You know, it's just kind of getting them all kind of pulling in the same direction and sort of ultimately working towards the same thing, which, you know, getting more players through, getting them into the professional game, getting them, you know, into the Ferns, giving us options.
Obviously, that push towards 2023 is what's really helped get this over the line, which is actually really, really awesome. I actually don't think 2023 is where we'll see the benefits of having the team and the effectively more access to academy structure as well. I think it's going to be the World Cup cycle after that. So it's perhaps, you know, another 4 years down the road from there. But the point is, you have to have a starting point, and this is that starting point, and it's the best starting point we could possibly have hoped for making us that what we could be as a world power in football. Well, there's no reason why these women in 6 years can't be a top 10 team.
Yeah, I think the best time to do this was probably 4 years ago, but the second best time to do it is now.
Yes. Now, yes.
Yeah, I get a big nod from everybody on the Zoom call with that one. Yep. I guess the only downside to this is that we're not going to see this team in New Zealand for the foreseeable future. They'll be playing out of Australia somewhere because of the world situation that we're in. And it sounds like it's going to be the same case on the men's side. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Well, which is a downside?
Domi actually touched on that at the press conference, where he said the season is going to be 14 games. I think it is 14 games long this time. I think there's no guarantee that that where the men and the women play will be at the same place. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's different teams in the league. The league structure is different. It would make much more sense to have them based near the teams they're going to play, especially if they're with, as COVID, as you touched on, if they're going to do like a conference kind of structure, which is possible as well when you have so many teams in the league now. So, yeah, there's lots of water to go under the bridge. But I would hope that if the season is going to go into next year, there's certainly a possibility that we get a couple of games back here at the stadium and we can do double headers with the men's team as well.
Yeah, you hope so, but there's no certainty anywhere at the moment.
No certainty around anything at all, other than the fact that they're going to have to play some games in Australia.
Yeah, and that is a downside to this, but for future seasons and hopefully for 2023, once we get to a higher vaccinated population, we can open the borders, whatever that looks like, to have this on our doorstep. I mean, I'm just looking forward to being able to go and watch more football. Like, I get to go and watch my club play more games of football, which is just great to see.
I remember they did this with the Weenix, and to a lesser extent, about a decade ago, they were doing it with Team Wellington as well. Mm-hmm. They even had a Wybop versus Canterbury, I think, game one at the stadium prior to a Phoenix game. Getting down there and spending effectively 4 hours watching football over a 6-hour period and chatting to your mates over a beer, there is no better way to spend a Sunday afternoon, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Or even just going down to like potentially Porirua Park, Newtown Park, hosting games in those places, which isn't a giant cavernous stadium and has the facilities for TV. Both of those places can do that. I do massively enjoy that. I think playing it.
I think if you're going to play them the same weekend in the same place, they both play at the stadium. But you're right. If you need to investigate another venue, if there's not necessarily going to be a like both teams playing here on the same weekend, then sure. But I would still prefer to see them both playing at the stadium on the same day.
Yeah, just imagine how good that's going to be for argument's sake, they did the doubleheader for the first game that the W League team plays in New Zealand, like thousands of people going down to watch New Zealand's first professional women's team playing. Like,
yeah. You're going to get some great air miles, Ella. I can see you getting lots of air miles, and you're going to visit us a lot over the course of the summer.
Hey, guys, do you need me to head down to Wellington? Yeah, cool. I'm off.
Just take the weekend off and come down anyway.
I mean, Wellington showed that we had a demand for this when we hosted that Japan Football Ferns Friendly, and we got the largest crowd for
8,700 or something.
Yeah, definitely in the high 8,000s, I think it was. And that was just on a Sunday afternoon, what hit me about that game was the different demographic of people coming to watch it compared to a Phoenix game. So many younger girls coming to watch it because their parents would bring them down to a game of football that they wouldn't otherwise. And so I think that even just from a Phoenix perspective, this is going to open up the Phoenix to a wider audience. No longer are you just going to have as many young along to the games, but to open up to more families. And so I think this could potentially boost crowds for the men's team as well, which is only a good thing in the environment that we're in. So I think the wider benefits will be seen over the next kind of 10 years of this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to open up new audiences to football. You know, some people might prefer one over the other. That's fine. But if you're seeing it as like a one club, we're supporting the Phoenix. If it's, the A-League team playing this weekend or the W-League team playing this weekend, we'll go down and watch it. Like, it's only going to, grow the base for the Knicks. It's only going to grow football in New Zealand and make more people, engage with the game. Different people will find different ways to engage with it and different sort of things that appeal.
Do we know when the season's supposed to kick off? Is it similar time to the men's A-League?
Ooh,
usually November, over, isn't it?
I think the W League was mid November, and I think was there some reports of the men's of the A League possibly being pushed out a little bit as well.
Yeah, it's going
to
be great.
I don't think they originally planned to start at the same time though.
Right. Yeah.
but maybe that will be the case now. But yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Actually, I can't find it. There we go. Don't have it listed. They've only got the 2020, 2021 fixtures listed. So perhaps it hasn't actually been released yet.
Hey,
yeah, I think it was something like the Sydney Morning Herald or something about it potentially being pushed.
Well, let's talk about the A-League as well. And let's jump into the chat.
Pat, before we do, can we address that whole nickname for this team?
Yeah, sure.
Because obviously the paper has run with over the weekend calling them the Sheenics. I'm not totally on board with that as a nickname for this team. I prefer Dubniks if you're going to do anything at all other than the Knicks. What are your feelings about that?
I mean, I have feelings about this, but I'm also aware that I'm a cisgendered male. So
yeah.
I don't think that I speak for everybody on this, and I don't think that I speak for all women on this, or anybody who identifies as such. But I just find the nickname Sheenix unnecessarily gender exclusive. We have a high proportion of LGBT players in the women's football, in particular, and we saw in the Olympics that we had our first transgender player playing for Canada, and.
And being the first trans athlete to win a gold, open trans athlete to win a gold medal at an Olympics.
Exactly. Yeah. And to use a gendered pronoun like she to describe the whole team, I just think that that's unnecessary and will only exclude people from feeling like they can identify with this team and this is their team. That's my read on it. I will not be using the term Sheenix. And I think that it would be unfortunate if that became the widely used term, but I'm not the person who can go around telling people what they can and can't call a team.
No, but you're entitled to an opinion and that's a fair one to have.
Yeah, it wouldn't be. Like, I can understand, like, it rolls off the tongue nicely, right? It's a nice soundbite, but going forward, is that really how we want to be going? Like, oh, here's the Phoenix and then here's the Sheenix. Like, you're immediately kind of going, well, here's... To me, and so I'm just because I was speaking for myself and how it sounds to me as these things kind of get pulled out, but it kind of sounds like you're going like one is like the real team and the other's kind of the sub team, whereas they're both the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where it lies.
We've seen that previously. We've seen like separate Twitter accounts for the W League team versus the A League team or overseas. I know that when Man City decided that they were going to run everything through the same Twitter account, they would have said, we're not the men's team or the women's team. We're just Man City. And that's what I would like it to be here. And I think some of the journos who initially used the Sheenix nickname have kind of rolled it back a little bit and said that they'll call them the Wellington Phoenix. And if they need to differentiate, they'll say the A-League team and the W-League team, which I think the way that you should do it. They are just the Wellington Phoenix. And both teams are the Wellington Phoenix. And this is kind of one of the first times that we really feel like a club rather than a franchise. We're heading in that way with the academy structure and the collaborations with United and then Lower Heart. We were starting to feel like a club that way. But to now have multiple first teams under the umbrella of the Phoenix is a great thing. And I think we should celebrate that. And that's not to make one team the main team and one team the secondary team. So that's my read on that. Cam?
Yeah.
I also just want to say that I have to give shout out to Domi, particularly for the 6 years of effort he's put in to getting this over the line. There's a lot of work gone in behind the scenes that we haven't seen, and I think the guy should take quite a bit of credit. Obviously, it's not just been him, but he has been a driving force. And there's been buy-in from Wellnicks, who have obviously got on board with this as well, and Gregor Walk in the W League, which is great. But Domi should take quite a bit of credit for managing to get this over the line. It's great to see the GM of your club really caring and really driving the club into the future. So nice one, Domi.
Yeah, and also everybody at the APL who has been behind the Phoenix. And this is just another example of the fact that we are just another one of the other 10, 11 clubs involved in the APL. We aren't a secondary citizen anymore. It's a big vote of confidence in the future of the Phoenix. Speaking about the future of the Phoenix, let's move on to talk about the future of the Phoenix. And by future, I mean the next season. Obviously, it will affect both teams, the W League and the A League team. But this COVID situation ain't going anywhere, is it? We are a very strange place.
Well, I think we're going to have to live with COVID. It's not going anywhere, right? No. It's going to be around for a long time. So what we need to do as a country is get ourselves in the best position for when we open the borders to not destroy our healthcare system, right?
Yeah.
So what that looks like when you read the media, it's what, an 80% kind of vaccination rate. And once we kind of hit that, we're getting into a position where our healthcare system can probably deal well enough with this plus all the normal healthcare concerns.
I mean, I guess the conversation that I want to have is less about our situation in New Zealand right now, because that's not really the issue. We're probably going to be okay. We're looking like we're heading in the right direction. It's the situation over in Australia where New South Wales and Sydney, where a lot of the teams in the A-League are based, and where the hub was based when we had to play in a hub, is just a dire situation, upwards of 1,500 cases a day. Melbourne heading in a similar direction.
It's not coming back. It's not coming back from there.
Yeah, it's going to be very hard.
It is. Look, basically our border, and until our borders open, they have to be in Australia.
Yeah.
Hopefully, as I say, we talk about, get that 80% vaccination rate, the borders open, they can come back and forwards, and that's fine. But the fact is the COVID's going to be there in Australia for some time. So there's going to be restricted movement for a while. We have to be over there, as you say, based out of Sydney, because that's where the majority of the teams are going to be that we need to play. But how to do that safely is quite a question. When you looked at, the hub we talked about last season, obviously based over there in Wollongong for last season as well, they've done it twice, effectively three times actually, because they did it twice in the previous season. So they've done it three times. They know what they need to do, but we all know that it's a money sink to have to do that for a long period of time. There's not an appetite to do this stuff for long periods of time. There's not an appetite in the fan base to lose your team for that length of time again and only have two games over here. But again, everything's out of our hands. Until the border actually opens and people are allowed to come backwards and forwards, what do? You want the club to exist. If the club continue existing has to be based in Australia for a few months, then that's what we have to put up with again.
Well, I think I remember seeing one of the other general managers, it might have been Tony Pinata from Perth, say that the APL just doesn't have the money to hub up, create a bubble and play out the season if they need to this year. So that's just not a feasible option. You talk about the Phoenix have to go over there to play the season, sure, but the question I have is, will the season actually be able to happen? Because you've got a whole bunch of states that are locked down and not letting people from Sydney or Victoria into them. Queensland is one of them, and the Roar are based there. Perth is another. And that's two teams that you have to worry about. South Australia with Adelaide. It's looking tricky to actually start a season. The season's supposed to start in 6 weeks' time. Even if the Phoenix make it over there and set up camp in that amount of time, which is really very soon, whether there's actually games to be played is going to be another question. And I don't know if that's going to be able to happen. There's a little bit of rumblings about delaying the season, but I don't know how far you can delay that before you just have to pull the pin on a whole season.
I don't know, mate. I don't have any answers to this.
There's no answers.
Everything is so speculative because New South Wales and Victoria are doing so badly. So yes, we could get into Queensland, we could get into Western Australia and South Australia, but that means there's only four of us playing each other, right? There's no other teams based out in those areas. Everyone else is in New South Wales and Victoria. So if we can't have access to those, if those guys can't get out, I guess is the other problem. Yeah. Like if they can't hub, if we have to pay for it, then there's no reason why the other clubs shouldn't have to do the same sort of scenario and get out of there and base themselves somewhere else for the season. Obviously, APL can't pay for that. That's fine. They didn't pay for us to be in Australia last season either. So, you know, there's going to be some owners having to stump up with some cash to actually make that happen.
And that'll affect the W League team as well, because the W League will have the exact same problems. While they don't have quite the same number of clubs inside New South Wales, it's not so like centered in that one problem state as it is in the A-League. The problem still exists where you have Canberra, who are in ACT with zero cases, basically, and they're not going to want anybody from Victoria coming in and this kind of thing. So it's a really tricky time. And I'm, again, not envious of people who work for the league trying to make the leagues happen. It's hard. I mean, you look at us in New Zealand now where we've got Chatham Cup games that can't go ahead because they're between a side in Auckland and a side in Wellington. You've got the National League, which is supposed to bring all these teams together from across the country, and we aren't able to do that, and we don't even have a state system. As soon as we can open Auckland up to the rest of the country, we will, without a doubt. And so it's even that is putting a spanner in the works here. So to try and do that over in Australia with the government system, the state government system to deal with, is going to be a pain in the ass, and it's going to only affect things negatively. I honestly can't see an October 31st start date for the A-League. I just don't see that happening.
Look at that with the Knicks. So they're back in training in Wellington right now. So assuming that they had a base now, they could fly over, spend 2 weeks in MIQ, and then have 3 to 4 weeks worth of training prior to the season starting on October 31st, if they can make that happen. But they don't have a base set up right now.
No.
And to get over to Australia within the 2 weeks, they have to do 2 weeks quarantine. So to get over there, do the 2 weeks quarantine and still play by 31st of October is already borderline because they don't have facilities necessary. That's if they leave tomorrow, yeah. Which they're not doing, obviously. They're not leaving tomorrow. So, yeah, mate, I'm fully with you. There's so many questions that I just can't see an answer to. What do you do?
I mean, we've kind of...
Who would be David Dome right now? Who would be Ufi? And who would be Sean Gill? And particularly, who would be the Wellnicks? Because, you know, no matter what decision you make, there's going to be some cash shelled out that you really hoped you weren't going to have to. It's going to be quite an expensive proposition again this season.
It's an interesting one. I think I tweeted a little while back that I wouldn't have been surprised if Rob Morrison and the rest of Wellnicks didn't want to do it, didn't want to fund the season again, and didn't want to have to pay for a season outside of Australia. I wouldn't have blamed them if that was the case. I think with this announcement of the W League team, I think it's incredibly unlikely that they're going to want to pull the pin on a season because they're just storming forward. Like, they aren't stopping things. They aren't letting things be stopped because of the situation. So I don't think they're at that point from what we've seen in the last kind of week, which is a good thing. But I wouldn't blame them if they did want to pull the pin because they have sunk a lot of money into this club, especially over the last 18 months, just to keep it going. For relatively little reward. I know that I personally I didn't give a shit about the Phoenix last season until they came back into New Zealand. That was just the way it was. And
a lot of fans were disenfranchised, mate.
Exactly.
There were a lot of people in the same camp as you are.
And I can imagine that Rob, being based in New Zealand, was probably in the same boat. Like, I know he was financially invested, but he couldn't go to games. He couldn't host in the chairman's lounge. He couldn't do all the things that he normally does. So I wouldn't have been surprised, but I think the rumblings from this week means that, sorry, not the rumblings, the announcements this week means that there's not that problem there, which is a good thing.
The whole W League scenario, actually, it puts my mind at rest about the ownership's willingness to keep this thing going. You know, that's a massive thing for us, and it kind of says that there is a preparedness to take a hit. Because they understand once this is gone, it's gone forever. It's not coming back, you know. And obviously, Rob's very well respected in Australia, and he's got a lot of sway with the league over there, which is magnificent for us because long term, it gives our future a lot more security. My biggest issue again, this will be the engagement with fans. We struggled, right? We struggled with engagement. I went along, I don't know if you did, Patrick, went along to the things that the club put on as they could put them on, you know? But the engagement in that obviously drops away. Yeah. It was great at the end of the previous season. People were getting down to the church hall. There were good numbers in there. There was great atmosphere. It was good noise. But by the time you have to go do it again and do it again, and then you're doing it for every single game because none of them are at home, that appetite just starts to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And, yeah, my concern is that will happen again.
Yeah. Hey, let's leave it there on a dire note.
Massively negative note.
We started high and then we dropped.
Yeah.
We should have done the A-League first, shouldn't we?
We should have. Hey. But it is what it is. We're going to, for those of you who don't know, Ella was over in Tokyo with the teams. So if you want to hear about Tokyo, we're going to talk to Ella about that over on our Patreon. So jump on patreon.com/ Phoenix City and check us $5 a month. It does help us out, helps us buy new microphones when people drop them. We're going to do that. But otherwise, thank you for listening. Sorry it's been so long, but there's been very little to talk about as we just kind of talked around a circle, and that was all we had before the W League team got announced. So big thank you to Ella for joining us. Great to have you back on, and hopefully you enjoyed it. Something for you to do on a Sunday night.
Reaching out to you again many times with the W League content that we need to do, because this is such an exciting development and you really are the one that knows.
Hopefully with it now being, there'll be more people who know. Yeah. Now it's going to be here. Everyone's going to know.
Exactly.
Better. Totally. Yeah. That's a great point. Hey, that's us. Thank you much, very, very much for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye. A podcast of two halves brings you
7 + 11 brings you
Token Aussies brings you